Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Pulling Heartstrings with the Matriarch here on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM. Ladies and gentlemen, today is the 22nd of the 5th month of 2025. It is a Thursday evening and the time is 22:06. My name is the Matriarch and I am your host for this evening and every other evening, ladies and gentlemen. So we're talking about reassurance. We're talking about reassurance when we are in relationships, et cetera, et cetera. Now, what happens when, we come to a point that we have to reassure other people? Why? Why do we have to reassure other people? This usually happens when we have betrayed their trust. This usually happens when we have betrayed them. This usually happens when we have put them in a position where they no longer see us as a reliable person, a reliable source, a reliable anything. So that's why we need to reassure them. Ladies and gentlemen, the number in studio is 083-288-401. That is the number in studio, and let's dive into it. Before that, ladies and gentlemen, let us pay the bills.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
The Villager, wherever you are. All right, ladies and gentlemen, what is reassurance and why do we have to reassure? Reassure is to remove somebody's doubts and fears from them so that they can feel better. And usually these doubts and these fears, right, in a situation of betrayal, they come from us. They come from us. They come from us. They come from us. Reassurance after betrayal, especially in a romantic relationship, is a critical, it is a crucial step in the healing process. It involves acknowledging the hurt, offering support, and demonstrating consistent dependability and dependable behavior to rebuild trust. Reassurance can help the betrayed person feel emotionally supported and also balanced. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're diving through the little things that you have to do in order for you to regain somebody's trust, in order for you to rebuild the trust that you have lost, and in order for you to put them at ease and put yourself at ease. So, ladies and gentlemen, the first one is acknowledge and take responsibility. Good evening.
Evening.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you.
What's the topic for today?
We're talking about reassurance after betrayal.
After betrayal. So yeah. It cannot be reassurance in anything.
We were talking about reassurance yesterday, so we dived into the male reassurance, the female reassurance, and the togetherness reassurance. Now we have dived into the concept of romantic relationships.
Okay, maybe I can ask a question.
You can go ahead.
Okay. Let's say now, you're in a relationship, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you tell your partner that, no, this is the person that was my, I don't know if the word is correct, but virgin breaker.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So, and he's my cousin or his family, friend or whatever it is.
And is it a Shiramwe situation or what?
No, it's not Heleros, it's Wambus. How? The Shiramwe is with Heleros.
Yes, so they're not really cousins.
I don't know, because it is all now that is said.
Uh-huh. So is it somebody that is seen as a cousin, or?
I have no idea how the person is seen.
Did you ask?
No. Just hold on. So
okay.
Give.
No, because you said cousins and sleep together, so it's a bit alarming, you know?
Yes, but if you give me a chance to speak, you might understand.
Okay, proceed.
So now, the matter of, no, it's my cousin, or it's not really my cousin, it's this other auntie or this other uncle's child, and we met way, and then it happened, and it kept happening, and we're in a whole relationship, you know, for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as time goes,
mm-hmm.
this person is now visible and we have interactions, but not regarding the deed that was done.
Mm-hmm.
But that relationship is most now no longer. So I don't know now if these people are friends or they talk or they still chill together if they meet. And I make it known that, you know what, because I know of the situation or whatever was there, I'm not okay with it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like it, and I'm not okay with it. This whole thing of pretending like I don't know what went down between you guys. And then, to make matters worse,
mm-hmm.
this person has the decency to come disrespect me.
Mm-hmm.
So that disrespect is probably because of, you know what, I've been there, man, you know. So
mm-hmm.
I make it known to the lady that, you know what,
mm-hmm.
to avoid further conflict, right,
mm-hmm.
or anything. I don't know if I should confront the person, you will confront the person, but this whole thing of, you know, I don't have petrol, send me money, man. Oh, we are drinking here, send me money.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, whatever was there is no longer there. I don't think this lady makes it known, or she doesn't know, or I don't think she cares about the partner that she is with in a relationship. Because
mm-hmm.
if it is reassurance, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Reassurance is not just with words.
Mm-hmm.
Reassurance comes, it entails many parts of, you know what, this is what you told me about your feelings, and to reassure you, this is what I have done about it.
Mm-hmm.
Reassuring is not just coming down and saying, oh no, you know what, that guy asked me for money and I sent him.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just telling the story that this is what happened. Reassuring is caring about the other person's emotions and
mm-hmm.
feelings towards something.
Mm-hmm.
Hence why reassurance is needed.
Yeah.
So, I'm in a situation where I have a problem where I know those people are drinking, and then now she's called and then she sends money. She doesn't even let me know. I'm in the vicinity.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? This is what happens.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a form of gaslighting, because when I ask, it's as if I am the one at fault.
Mm-hmm. So what type of reassurance would you need in this situation?
No, I believe that in a relationship, when two people in a relationship, right, you meet each other halfway, you compromise. If the one doesn't like something or they're not okay with it, you stop it, because the moment you continue doing it, then the conflict will constantly be arising, because that is not going to stop.
Okay, now what needs to stop exactly? And is the money sending the situation that she sends?
Because what mm-hmm. comes with that,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
What comes with that is from a male perspective, right?
Mm-hmm.
Males they like what is theirs.
Mm-hmm.
What is theirs is important to them,
mm-hmm.
and it comes with their ego.
Mm-hmm.
And what comes with the disrespect from the other party that is not part of the relationship,
mm-hmm.
or I don't know, maybe they are part of the relationship because there's no reassurance, then it must just, that whole form of communication, it's like it's not known that, you know what, maybe we used to send each other money, we used to hold each other like this, now this people hug each other like this, and it's long time, man, and you know what, in my presence, like, I feel that is disrespect.
Mm-hmm.
Disrespect. And I, from my perspective, me as a person,
mm-hmm.
my emotion, I don't take such things lightly.
Mm-hmm. So the question is, how would you want to be reassured in this situation?
Look, reassurance, it's not something that...
No, I'm asking about you personally, because this is your issue, right? And
no.
Okay.
Oh, listen, right? If the issue was brought up already, right? And the person had said, right? That, look, I am not okay with this. So perhaps you can do this, tell the person, because it is causing a lot of conflict. So there is no reassurance there. It is that reassurance, no, I told the person, or no, it's no longer going to be like that. Like, everything just continues the way it used to be, and hence why conflict keeps arising. And when I bring it up, it's a form of gaslighting where, you know, don't you know that it's like family or something? But if something is not okay, it's not okay. It could have been not a family member. So what then?
Okay. I hear you and I understand what you're saying.
So now,
but
what,
I'm
what
asking
comes,
you
it,
a question.
Hold on. What it comes off as, right? It comes off as me, the person that is asking and saying, putting in a request that I'm not okay with this thing. And I would like it to get an end because I'm tired of the disrespect that I
feel. Okay, so
right? Hold on before you ask your question. So what I am saying is that I feel as if my feelings are invalidated and they don't matter at all. Like, you can stand on top of your head, you can do whatever, this is how you found things and this is how it's going to be. Because the moment I ask, it's the other party is the one that gets angry. And then it's as if my feelings, the one who brought it up, and who is, you can just go do whatever or feel whatever that is that you want to.
Okay.
So I don't get any part of, oh, I heard what you said, or this is what I'm doing about it, or everything that comes off is like, it's just like, hey, so what, I did it, so what.
Mm-hmm. So, my question.
I will listen from the radio.
You're going to listen from the radio for a conversation that you brought up that only involves you.
Because in this moment, I'm giving my perspective.
Yes, but I'm asking you, because right now, your perspective is clouded, because there are so many details of this particular story that you're bringing to the forefront that are in arrears. So,
for example,
what kind of relationship do they have? Are they people
I don't know.
Did you ask?
I'm not supposed to ask. I don't think that I'm supposed to
okay,
ask.
Okay, so if somebody has not told you.
Hold on, because the moment that one says it is not okay, right?
Regardless, so the person must just jump because you said so.
Okay, so in a relationship, the matriarch, mm-hmm. right? If someone says they're not okay with something.
Mm.
And I already stated in the beginning that these people used to sleep together.
Mm-hmm.
They were not just in a relationship. It's a relationship which is intimate sexually.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Okay. That is why I'm saying that maybe we can dive into it. Maybe we can talk about it.
So
because right now,
why is my part?
Your part is not valid. Your part is not invalidated. Your part is, you are absolutely right to feel the way you are feeling. But the question would be everything else that's in question, so that we can dive into the conversation being an insecurity within yourself. An ego problem. Just hold on, because I also gave you an opportunity to speak.
But
I gave you an opportunity to speak.
I would like to eliminate that word of insecurity.
Okay.
Because if it was insecurity, I would have said that no, because of my insecurity.
Okay, but how do you know you're not insecure?
Because it's my feelings, and I know what the feeling of insecurity.
But right now you're threatened. You're threatened by a person that
I'm not threatened, because what comes up from this guy is a form of disrespect. I had a confrontation with him, and the way he's addressing me.
What was the confrontation about? That is why we need to know
more.
A
confrontation. It is just people talking, in the way that he came to address me.
Uh-huh.
Right? Me specifically.
Mm-hmm.
It's with disrespect and talking like he wants to. He doesn't.
How is he supposed to talk to you?
No, but this person doesn't know. This person is talking to me because I'm with the person that he used to sleep.
How do you know?
But I know. I know that he knows.
How do you know? Or is this something that you just assume?
How do I know? I'm not assuming, because I was not the only person there. Everything mm-hmm. was fine. This person walks up to me, and the only thing that he came to say was just disrespectful towards me. And like you, Anna, don't you even know how to drive, right? It's not someone that I've ever had a conversation with any other day before. But there are so many 10, 20 people around me. But the way he came to address me was very disrespectful. And it's because that I'm sleeping with the person that he used to sleep with. And I know that because I'm a man, I'm male. This is what most men do. And it is a complete truth. And I tell the person that I'm with, you know what, to avoid all this, right? Mm-hmm. To avoid all this. Let all this just come to an end because.
And this would okay. So this person, in okay, other words,
no, can I say something?
No. Actually,
no. I would like to say
no,
I
but you actually have to hear what I'm saying.
I would like to say something.
I'm saying that no, you can't say something. I want to say something right now. So I'm asking that if you wanted reassurance now from your partner, the reassurance would be never talking to this person ever again?
I had already made it clear to my partner.
No, I'm asking. Your partner. I'm asking.
I had already made it clear to my partner.
Okay, so.
I made it clear, not on one occasion.
So you are not willing to share with us what you told your partner?
I told her I'm not okay with that. I'd like this whole thing to come to an end.
What is this whole thing?
This whole thing of communicating.
Okay, so they should never ever speak again.
But that is up to her to decide.
I am asking what would reassure you, sir?
The matriarch.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to me. Listen. Right? If you are told, right, that, you know, this thing is bad. It makes me feel bad and I don't want it to continue. That is it. How I cannot put it in any other word.
But I'm asking what is not continue?
Like this form of communication.
So they are not supposed to ever talk to each other ever again in life.
Because what I feel, right, is that, hold on, right, just listen. I feel that if these two people are in a relationship. This person is no longer in a relationship. Which one takes more precedence? What value does that other person add to your life? When you don't
it
have
depends bread in the, on
hold,
the person.
Hold on. Does this person go to hospital when you're sick? Do they go sit with you in the hospital? Do they buy you bread? Do they send you the money that this person receives even for drinking?
And if they do?
You know what? Like I was saying, I wanted to ask something.
But the question is, if they do?
This is a very sensitive matter. Then I don't know about it. Then there's no reassurance in what I had said prior to that.
But the question that is still standing is, how would you be reassured if your partner never spoke to this person ever again?
Then it means that this person never communicated nothing, so she doesn't care about what I did, because if it is still continuing, then clearly it is continuing, even though I had spoken about it a million times before. So what I say is that my emotions and my feelings are invalidated, because the question comes in now. Yeah, so if they do send each other money, am I aware of it?
No,
so
it's not. It's not only that.
So I'm at home, perhaps eating bread, and it comes from this other guy. No wonder he has the decency to come talk to me, because he knows that he was asked one day that, no, we don't have food at home, and then please send me whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know what? I'm not okay with this conversation.
Anymore? That you found on radio?
I was never okay with it. It's just a coincidence that this is the topic. I'm not okay with it, and I feel like coming from you, like the way you are addressing it, the way you are questioning, comes from also a point of lack of emotion or consideration for the other person.
But you're not answering any questions, and that is why emotion cannot be afforded to you. But it is okay if you don't feel like talking. Good night. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Pulling Heartstrings with the Matriarch here on your number one talk radio station. So our previous caller was basically talking about a situation within his relationship. And the one question that I would have to ask, especially when we are talking about reassurance when it comes to betrayal, right? The one question I would like to know from you guys is how does somebody reassure you of your position, of your fears and your doubts? How does somebody come to a point of reassuring you? What would give you that reassurance? For me, for example, right? If my friend betrayed me, and my friend went to talk about me behind my back and it became a whole thing, for me, what would reassure me of this person's loyalty is telling me word for word what happened and how I can understand how exactly it is that my friend just started talking about me. Is it because she doesn't like me? Is it because she secretly hates me? Or is it because somebody instigated the conversation and she just went with it, or she went within it, or she instigated it? Because unfortunately we live in a world where people are so cruel, where people are so crude. Unfortunately we live in a world where it is wild, right? So maybe, just maybe, this friend is a whole fake friend and now we are finding out the ultimate truth about it. And now we are finding out that this person is just so bad. Or maybe, right? Have you ever heard of a person that says, I just continue talking and adding things into the story so that I can hear the rest of the story, so that I can hear what people actually think about you. It's not really my thoughts and it's not really my views. I just wanted to hear the end of it. Now, for me, I believe that that is absolute nonsense. I do not believe that that is how it goes down. I don't believe that anybody would just sit there and watch somebody else talk trash moves about their friend that they love with all their hearts, and then apparently just the story is mm-mm. I don't believe in that. And then also, when it comes to relationships, right, and betrayal, especially with infidelity, ladies and gentlemen, with infidelity, right, it is the easiest reassurance to give, because most of what you have to do is just not do it ever again. Just don't do it ever again and everything else will fall into place. What happens is that your phone is no longer having passwords. Your computer is not having passwords. There's nothing about what anymore in your life. And everything just smooths over. Everything just cruises over. And that is basically it when it comes to infidelity. So ladies and gentlemen, we are diving into what it takes to bring a person back to a loving and a trusting position in your life. For this person to come back to you in a way that they can trust you as a human being and as a friend and as a lover or as a parent. We're talking about how to get it right. You understand? Because somewhere, somehow, there are some people with real remorse when they do something bad. And there are some people that don't have remorse for when they do something bad. And those that don't have remorse, they don't listen to the conversation such as this one. They don't hear the conversation such as this one. They mainly just overlook it and it just goes into the wind. So if you are here and you are attentively listening to this conversation because you are in a situation of this nature, then maybe, just maybe, you are the remorseful party. You are the good guy in this whole story.
Tired of being stuck in queues or left on hold? Our online sign-up lets you get the connection you need in just a few minutes. Simply head to paratus.africa/Namibia and press the online sign-up button. Then choose from our exciting ranges of fiber, Sky-Fi or mobile LTE products. Fill in the application form and you're already done. Of course, you'll also enjoy free installation on your new package. Sign up online today to enjoy effortless connectivity.
Ouri mnangeshifa nohara kushivifa oma kuroye kupitira mohorike radio station ayo Eagle FM enyamukuru olongaha ninge kwatafano na Monica kushikondo shipindi konora hetatu imwe heali imwe ne heali imwe imwe no hamano. That is 0817147116 mamberewa konora hetatu natu mbali o hetatu vatatu ne nola no natu nenge tumo emaila ku monica@eaglefm.com.na opo umone oshijemo shiri nawa.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Our handle is Eagle FM.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud. So
not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye. Listen to Eagle FM in Lodritz at 91.2 FM. Listen to Eagle FM in Omthea at 90.5. Listen to Eagle FM in Mariental at 101.2. Listen to Eagle FM in Okahanja at 104.2.
Did you know that in Namibia, over 1.4 million people use their mobile device to access the internet? So why not meet your current and potential customers where they already are? With over 600,000 cumulative users around the world, between the Eagle FM and Imba mobile apps, Eagle Media House has the perfect digital platforms for you to advertise your business, upcoming events, weddings, vacancies, funerals, or any other announcement that you have on their digital billboards in their mobile applications. Put your ad on our digital billboards, and with one tap of the screen, lead users directly to an address of your choosing. For more information, contact Hende at 081-410-9077. That's 081-410-9077.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to Pulling Heartstrings with the Matriarch here on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM. The number in studio is 083-288-401. That is the number in studio in case you would like to buzz us up or to have the conversation with us. We're talking about reassurance after betrayal. What is it? It is making somebody feel, right? Removing, actually making somebody feel like you are removing doubt and fear, because you are removing doubt and fear from this person. Now, first of all, we have to acknowledge the fact that the doubt and the fear is there. Like, let's just start there. Let's start with the fact that somebody has to show you or tell you that this has created doubt, this has created fear within me, and I am not okay with the situation. I'm not okay with us as friends, as lovers, as colleagues, as whatever. You have to establish that the doubt and the fear is there. And then you know that, okay, I have to remove this. I have to remove this from this person in order for this person to get back to normal. Now, getting back to normal is a very difficult step, because betrayal, right? It hits deep. It hits deep. It leaves wounds open and oozing. It is just all over the place. And the sooner you start to bandage it, the better. So, ladies and gentlemen, we have to talk. Like, with our previous caller, it would have been nice if some of the answers were, some of the questions were actually answered, so we can dive into it in order for us to know and to understand. And then also maybe that he could offer have also gotten a perspective of it, that a different outlook on it. Because when you are in the situation, right, it is difficult to get a holistic view of the situation, especially if you are not answering any questions. And also, we are human beings, right? We can't just expect to give reassurance when the conversation in itself didn't trigger doubt and didn't trigger fears and it wasn't really spoken about in a way of understanding, in an intimate way, understanding that, yo, these are my feelings towards it. This is where I'm at. This is, I've got jealousy or I've got insecurities or I'm not okay with it. You know, when these conversations are had like that, then you can get a better understanding. For example, like the example that I gave last night of going to the party of the girl that is your friend, that is not your friend, and your friend goes to that party instead. Like, that is a deep betrayal, and especially when rumors come from those types of stories also, which are, nah, your friend was here talking about you, brah, and you're like, yo, but my friend even stood me up and said that they are not feeling well, and now they don't come, and there's a level of betrayal. There's so much betrayal that happens there. So, we started with acknowledge and take responsibility. The person who betrayed the other person must acknowledge their actions and take responsibility for the hurt that they have caused. What is their action? We have to establish that one. What is their action? Their action is going to the other person's party, knowing full well that I'm having a party, and then you decide to go to the other party, and you know very well that I don't speak to this other person anymore because this person spoke lies about me, or this person stole my money, or something like that. Now you know this information, and then you still choose to go to that other party. Eh? Like, why? Why did you go to that other party? Maybe if we can understand why, and we can establish now, Kucha, okay, so was it done intentionally? Was it not done intentionally? Because there are so many things that go through life, and we go through as people. And it is not just a matter of, okay, you did it, right? It is a matter of why did you do it? And what made you think that this was absolutely okay? And you still had the audacity to go and talk about me and knowing full well that this gossip is going to come and find me. Eh, what was it? Right? We need to know everything about why the betrayal took place in the first place. That is the only way we can find comfort within ourselves. It's just like infidelity. Most of the questions that are asked, right, are questions that seem redundant. They seem redundant. They seem silly. They seem stupid. They seem like they're unnecessary. But those are questions that need to be answered regardless of the level of intelligence that comes with it. Like, who is she? Right? And how long have you been talking? And why did you go? And even if you say you don't know, there must be a reason that you did it. You know, there must be a reason of why. Why did you go? No, I just felt like going because I was drunk. So when you get drunk, you just go to random girls' houses or what? Yeah? Or when you get drunk, you just pick up random girls or what? You have to come to the bottom of why the betrayal was done. You have to come to the bottom of why this person must take accountability of it, the action in it. And then we move on, and then we say that this includes genuine remorse and expressing sorrow for the pain inflicted. So if this person is like, I'm so sorry, I know that I did it, and I'm so sorry that I did it, and it eats me up at night, and it, you know, genuine remorse and guilt is one of the ways that we can tell that a person is really sorry for what they've done to us. It is the way that they speak. It's how they address it. It's the fact that they want to address it. It's the fact that they want to clear the air. It's the fact that they want to really honestly make amends, because we live in a generation where we just cut off most. We just cut off people like, nah, brah, that person is not doing it for me. Cut them. That's all we do in this generation. We call each other narcissists. We call each other toxic. We call each other bad traits. We call each other a negative aura. We call each other all kinds of names. And I think that it is a toxic trait within itself when people don't have genuine conversations about things the way they are supposed to be had. And I also believe that we need to answer questions. We need to answer questions, and then we also need to ask questions. So you can't be the only one that's asking questions. You can't be the only one that's answering questions. There has to be communication. And also within this communication, there has to be real comprehension of things. There has to be a real understanding of where this person was coming from, how this person was coming from, wherever they were coming from, and in what state they were, in order for us to understand, just to understand. This is just the surface of it. Because if we can understand, then it minimizes the level of hurt that we feel within ourselves, right? So if for example, this person that went to the party, if this person tells you that I went to the party, right? Because I didn't have cab money to come to you, and I have already been asking you a lot of cab money all these days, and I felt kind of embarrassed, and also I've been going through a lot, so I just wanted free drinks. And then also, my mom was diagnosed with cancer today, and I've just been feeling wild, and I've been feeling all kinds of emotions, and I just chose to just escape. And this is why I went to the party. And the talking smack part about you, I took it too far. But it is, I didn't speak smack in a sense of I was lying and I was adding. I think I should have just never brought it up to those people. But everything that I said within that moment was true. That maybe one, you have a temper, and two, you don't really listen to others, and three, you don't do this, and you don't do that, and you don't do this, and you don't do that. And this is something that I couldn't bring up to you because I feel like you are aggressive and you are what? Then, right? When somebody says this, then there's a level of calmness that comes, because your anger could have been at 100. But because the person is telling you absolute truths, no matter how badly they hurt, right? Then there is a point where tatufururu keni, where you are like, oh, okay. I understand how difficult, because it's relatable, right? I understand how difficult it is to speak to somebody that can't hear you. I understand how difficult it is to bring up a situation in which somebody cannot really comprehend, and also to have internal battles within yourself. I understand. And that in itself is also something that can be brought up, and you can understand it. And when you understand it, right, it cures 50% of the whole entire problem. And then moving on to number two is be consistent. Be consistent. Be consistent and dependable. Demonstrate a commitment to rebuild trust by being transparent, honest, and dependable in your actions. This is in your actions, right? So you have to demonstrate. Demonstrate is show. You have to show that you are committed to building the relationship. So now, what happens, especially within friendships and romantic relationships, this being committed, right? Being committed to rebuilding the relationship, demonstrating it. This one would say that this is you calling them, you know, good morning, good afternoon, good what? And then we overdo it. So it's like with people, there's this, like we don't know how to side them, you know? We don't really know how to side them. So this demonstrating commitment to rebuilding the trust, right? It is a difficult one, especially when you guys don't live together or you guys are not married and you guys are just in a friendship or in a relationship or colleagues or a situation like that. It is difficult to demonstrate commitment without irritating the person or without bombarding the person or without giving the person way too much. So now you become this annoying person that's always calling like, bro, give me space. We have to allow things to move gradually. We have to allow people time to process things. Now, by time to process things, you would think that it is absolutely okay for you to go cold turkey on this person, but no. Oh, going cold turkey is also wrong. So it's like, hey, okay. So if I text, I'm irritating. If I don't text, I'm going cold turkey. If I do it lukewarm, then you're just right. Yeah, you're just like the porridge. Lukewarm, you are just right. So you can text, hello, how are you? I'm so sorry. And I'm so sorry for what I did. I take accountability for this and this and this and this and this and this is, and I'm responsible for this and this and this and this, and I'm sorry. And then you let it be. Because as long as you gave an apology, then it is a matter of your loved one now gravitating towards you. And instead of you forcefully asking them to forgive you and to take things back to normal. So forcefully is you being in their face constantly. You being in their DM constantly. Hey, ototingini ne, did you forgive me yet? Did you forgive me yet? Did you forgive me yet? You're like, whoa. Did you forgive me yet? 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 And it's a difficult one, but today is a beautiful day.
Oulu mnangeshifa, nawahara kushivifa oma akuro yo kupitira mohorike radio station na yo Eagle FM. Enya mukuro olongaha. Ninge kwa tafano na Monica kushikondosho ipindi konorahita tuimwe, heari imwe, ne heari, imwe imwe no hamano. That is 0817147116. Mwamberewa konorahita tu natu, mbali o hetatu vatatu, ne nola no natu. Nenge tumo emaila ku monica@eaglefm.com.na. Opo umone oshijemo shiri nawa.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Our handle is Eagle FM.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
All right, welcome back. So, it's be consistent and dependable. Okay, demonstrate a commitment to rebuild the relationship. So, I'm talking about when somebody has the betrayed person, when they have a conversation with you, at least you can revert back to them and communicate and talk about it and all of that.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Our handle is Eagle FM.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build. Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. Mm. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past. Mm. And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye. Listen to Eagle FM in Lodritz at 91.2 FM. Listen to Eagle FM in Omthea at 90.5. Listen to Eagle FM in Mariental at 101.2. Listen to Eagle FM in Okahanja at 104.2.
Did you know that in Namibia, over 1.4 million people use their mobile device to access the internet? So why not meet your current and potential customers where they already are? With over 600,000 cumulative users around the world, between the Eagle FM and Imba mobile apps, Eagle Media House has the perfect digital platforms for you to advertise your business, upcoming events, weddings, vacancies, funerals, or any other announcement that you have on their digital billboards in their mobile applications. Put your ad on our digital billboards, and with one tap of the screen, lead users directly to an address of your choosing. For more information, contact Hende at 081-410-9077. That's 081-410-9077.
Uri mnangeshefa ni wahara kushivifa oma akuro yo kupitira mohoriki radio station yo Eagle FM. Enya mkuro olongaha. Ninge kwa tafano na Monica kushikondosho ipindi kono rahitatu imwe, heali imwe, ne heali, imwe imwe no hamano. That is 0817147116. Mamberewa kono rahitatu natu, mbali o hetatu vatatu, ne nola no natu. Nenge tumo emaila ku monica@eaglefm.com.na opo mone oshijemo shiri nawa.
Eagle FM, the eye.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, today is one of those rough days, but we are getting through it. Be consistent and dependable. All right. Be willing and committed to rebuilding the trust by being transparent. Now, how do you be transparent? Being transparent is by telling the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So if somebody says, okay, somebody says, yes, this is why I went to the party, and this is why I did this, and this is why I did that. Take it as it is. Take it as it is, and don't try and say that the person is, that's not true. You're lying. Or if you feel like somebody is lying, then you can ask questions. And when you ask these questions, then most probably you can also get to the bottom of the situation. But somebody has to be willing to rebuild the relationship and through trust, so that you can be transparent and be honest and dependable in your actions. By being dependable in your actions, it is by being somebody that somebody can depend on, by being a person that is not just flaky, but knowing that no matter what we're going through, if there was a meeting that was supposed to be had, the meeting will still be had. If there was a gathering that we were going to, we would still need to go. If there was a wedding that needed to be attended, it would still be attended, by being dependable in your actions. So if you betrayed somebody, if you betrayed your friend, and your friend's mom was having a gathering, for example, that you guys had agreed to go and cook, or to go and vika, or to go and kill the cow or something, just because you guys are having a fallout doesn't mean that you are now pulling away from all the responsibilities and all of the all of the commitments that you have had prior to the hiccup within the relationship, right? So you continue with that just to show that, you know, regardless of what we are going through as friends, I'm still going to come up and I'm still going to come through for you, even if we are not talking, even if we are not what? So, a friend of mine had been getting married at some point and I was the maid of honor. So when I was the maid of honor at this wedding, we had a fallout prior. So we had a fallout like 3 to 4 months prior to the wedding. Yo, it was very difficult because we were extremely close and I don't even remember what the fallout was. I don't even remember what the argument was. I don't really remember. And that is why I think that it is important for us to always ask ourselves, will this be something that matters in 10 years? Will this be something that matters in the next 30 days? Will it be something that matters in the next 5 years? So I don't even remember it. That means it was a dumb problem. That means it was not something that was legitimately real. It wasn't something that was a real problem or anything like that. It was just that. And now when we are more mature, we are big, and also we pull heartstrings and we understand the dynamics and also we are working towards ourselves and, you know, just doing that shadow work, and we're doing all of this, right? Yeah. So now we can identify. Now we can identify that whatever the issue was and whatever the fallout was, right? It left a bitter taste in our mouths, but I don't remember why the fallout was there, but I had agreed to be her maid of honor and I had agreed to duties, right? As the maid of honor. Now, I don't know from her angle how she perceived it and how she took it, but also it was her wedding. So it was absolutely up to her to dictate how this wedding goes and who does this and who does that and how anybody is treated. And that's it. So I showed up. I showed up to the wedding and, I was ready, you know, I was ready to participate. I was ready to do anything that needed to be done. And also I know her parents already and I've been to the house already. So it's home, right? So I went and I showed face, but not just face, you know, I was really present and I was capturing moments. And I know these are moments that nobody would have captured otherwise, because they were very intimate moments, especially traditional moments, right? Traditional moments are very intimate moments, like shito wae kwa. And then also when your godmother is making it rain on you, the one time in your whole entire life that you can be a stripper without stripping. And it is the payments for me. It's that okashako. He akashangwa the bank, right? And it's just, it's the green note, it's the red note, it's the purple notes, it's just making it rain. And I took pictures of this and I tried to participate. I tried to participate deeply, but also there were limitations and boundaries as to what I could do because of where we were at in terms of being a friend and in terms of being in good graces with one another. But I chose not to complain and I chose not to see it as anything vindictive or as anything, more than just whatever the motions are and more than just what we are going through. So I didn't hold a grudge. I didn't hold a grudge. I was not vengeful and I tried my level best to just go through it. So part of my experiences there was that I was not taken care of. I was not taken care of in the way that I thought I would be taken care of as somebody that is at home. So it was, I have to find my own food. And imagine now, it's a group of bridesmaids. And by the time I get there, everybody has already eaten because everybody was told that it's 10 o'clock, that it's eating time. And then I have to just go get war and whatever they are eating, you know, and stuff like that. And that I tried to soldier it out. And then also everybody got the memo in terms of our makeup that was done. Everybody got the memo and that they are doing the beige lipstick and the nude lipstick, but it's, I'm dark. And the other girls are not as dark as I am. So the beige did not look good on me. So when it was done, right, I did not like it. But I also didn't get the memo. Better there was like a secret WhatsApp group, you know, where they were told that this is the color. I don't know if they picked it or whatever, but it didn't look good on me. So I did my lips, you know, I did like a nice, burgundy red, and that is how I did my lips. And when I got there, the bride was like, yeah, so you've got dark lips, you know, and I was like, okay, so that's not going down. And I took it off, you know, I didn't want conflict. I didn't want, it's, you know, a wedding is once in a lifetime if you're doing it correctly. So I didn't want to be a pester. I didn't want to be like, yeah, but it doesn't look good on me. And so I took it off, and then I got the nude that didn't look so good on me, as good as the dark, but I wore it and I went through with it because I was now committed. I went through with it. I wore it and I did my duties, and we did Kanjan Kadona, and then we did Kanjan Mati. And trust me, everybody got the look, you know, everybody got to see how the bride is going to look like, except me. And there was a lot of nje there, but I chose, you know, to soldier on with it. I chose to just continue with my responsibilities as a person. And that is what I'm talking about when it comes to be consistent and dependable. Right? Regardless of the fallout, if you had made arrangements, and commitments, especially when big people are involved, if you are not known by nobody, right, then maybe you can flake on a few responsibilities and maybe it might be okay. But if you guys are in a situation where there are elders and so forth, then You continue with it, and you suck it up, and then you finish with that one because you had made a commitment and you are a dependable person. So moving on, offer emotional support. Validate the betrayed person's feelings and provide emotional support, even if it is uncomfortable. Yeah? How do we do this? Validate the betrayed person's feelings. Kucha, you know what? Your emotions are absolutely valid. I understand what you are saying. I understand where you are at. I understand what you mean. But this one also has to go back to number one, because we have to establish whether or not betrayal was actually done. We have to establish whether or not betrayal was real, or it is just somebody's insecurities, or it is just somebody's fears, or it's just somebody's ego, or it's just somebody's jealousy, or is it real? So now if you really betrayed, right? If you really betrayed and you don't understand, like, for example, like infidelity, there is no way that you can say that, no, you are just jealous. Right? Because infidelity is infidelity. You can't say that, no, you are just jealous. You are just jealous that I'm sleeping with other people. No. You're not supposed to be. You agreed to monogamy. So you have betrayed, right? That is exactly it. You have betrayed and you have agreed to monogamy and you breached that contract. But if we are saying that somebody just feels like someone is a threat to them, then how you can validate, right, their emotions is by understanding why they feel like this person is a threat. Why they feel this person is a threat, how come this person is a threat, and now invalidating their emotions is by saying that, okay, I understand. Okay, so basically what you're saying is that you feel like this person is a threat to you because you have been You have watched them, or they are making a move on you, or you can see it, and this is this and this and that is why that this evidence over here is exactly why you feel the way you feel, and I understand. It's okay. It's okay for you to feel like that. Like, it's absolutely fine for you to feel like that. That is how you validate. And by validating the betrayed person's feelings is by, for example, right? The person walks with you. And maybe you cheated on them with this other person, and you guys forgave each other, and it's water under the bridge, and you guys bump into this other person, the other party within the infidelity. And then this person introduces you as a friend. Now that one is a difficult one. That one is not the way it's supposed to be. Yeah, why are you introducing me as a friend? Not unless there's something there. Not unless, you know. And when they go back and then they say like, yeah, but why are you introducing me as a friend? Not unless there's something there. What would be validating to the betrayed person is, yes, I understand that me introducing you as a friend, right, is completely wrong because it makes you feel like you don't matter, and there is still something that is happening there, and that is just terrible, and that is bad, and I'm sorry. You have to validate, and providing emotional support is by allowing somebody to be emotional, allowing them to be emotional, and also saying and understanding why they are emotional. So when you understand, right, there is a lot of peace that comes with understanding. Most of the times when we have arguments and conflicts, right, it is because we don't understand. It is because we can't comprehend where we are. It's because we can't comprehend, right, how deeply hurt this person is. And that is why we can't offer and provide the emotional support that we need to in order for this person to heal and come into a better space and become comfortable again. We can't understand. So if we can put ourselves in a position of understanding, then we will be more equipped to be emotionally supportive. It is like somebody's mother dying, and you say things like, get over it, your mother died 2 days ago. Like how... Emotional support would be that, oh, my friend, you are crying. Is it because of your mom? Okay, I'm going to sit here with you, and I'm just going to be here in this moment with you. You know, I understand what you're feeling, and yes, I'm here if you need me. If you need to talk, I'm here. If you need to vent, I'm here. I will support you. You know, being somebody's right hand shoulder, being somebody's, you know, side, even if it is uncomfortable. So usually it becomes uncomfortable when the person is going through the emotions and they are venting. Venting is not a problem. Venting to you, the perpetrator, is something that is very uncomfortable. And also it gets frustrating at times when somebody, the person that you have wronged, is constantly venting to you about something that you have done to them. But unfortunately, right? Unfortunately, we have to sit through it. We have to sit through it until the person feels better. It is selfish for us to assume, right, that somebody must get over our betrayal just like that, because you are over it, right? But you got your fix. You got what you wanted. You went to your party, my friend. You went to your party, you drank your beers, you talked smack, you had fun, right? And now you want me to pretend as if this is not something that hurts me. This is not something that's real. This is not something that would take me a while to get over. And that is our problem when it comes to betraying people. We want them to heal now. We want them to get over now. It now. We want them to not talk about it again. We want to say sorry once and it is never brought up and you never feel insecure about it and they don't cause any trauma within you. Nothing, nothing. You might just go on with your life trusting somebody that has betrayed you, and especially with repeat offenders, right? Repeat offenders want to be trusted all the time, even when they are going to offend again. They want to be trusted. Yeah, I don't understand why you don't trust me. Somebody can even cry. I don't even understand why you don't trust me. And then just today, kuma tango, 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 right? They go ahead and do the same thing that, right, they got in the hot soup with. And it happens. It happens so many times. It happens, it happens, it happens. Especially with repeat offenders. Repeat offenders. If you guys are repeat offenders, if you guys are repeat cheaters, if you guys are repeat abusers, if you guys are repeat what, and you say things like, oh no, I'm never gonna beat you again. Who is supposed to trust you? Who is supposed to believe you really? Eh? Because you said that last time and you did it again. You said that the time before you did it again, so who's going to trust you? The only way somebody can trust you is through actions. The only way somebody can trust you is by allowing this person, right, to express themselves fully until they vent and vent and vent, until there is nothing left to say, until there is nothing left in the midst of anything, until, right, it is over, said and done. But people don't want to live in uncomfortable situations. People don't want to sit in the discomfort. People don't want to go through the emotions. They want to go around it, on top of it, under it. They don't want to go through it. And most of the time, people don't even want to talk about it. People don't want to talk about things honestly. People don't want to say that. People don't want to hear things like, yeah, my dear, yeah, my dear, you kicked me until my ribs hurt. So unfortunately, me, I just don't trust that you're never going to do it again. I don't trust it because, hey, you stabbed me, my friend. Eh? Yeah, I don't know why we always want to talk about bad things. Like how, what do you mean I always want to talk about bad things? This is something bad that happened to me with you that is still asking to be in my life. Because 90% of us, right, we kick people to the curb. We say that we don't want anymore and we are done and we are out. But some people give others a chance. Maybe the problem is giving others a chance. Maybe that's the issue, right? Maybe we shouldn't give other people a chance. Maybe when somebody shows us, that they are bad for us, maybe we should let it go. But in life, it doesn't work like that. We learned this the hard way. It doesn't work like that. It's not just, I'm packing up and I'm leaving. It's not like that. At all. It's not like that. So sometimes, right, we don't even anticipate that tomorrow I'm gonna feel like this. I'm gonna feel like a doo-doo. I'm going to feel like the emoji, the kaka doo-doo, right? I'm going to feel like that tomorrow. You don't anticipate that tomorrow you're going to feel like, yo, what have I gotten myself into? You don't anticipate it. You always, always, always hope for the best. We hope for the best for ourselves. Sometimes we don't say it out loud because sometimes we are shy of our hopes and our feelings and our aspirations. Sometimes, right? And other times, we just don't know. We don't think it's ever gonna happen. We don't think that we're ever gonna be feeling bad. But when we do feel bad, you perpetrator, can you sit in it? Because it's like, yeah, get over it, Elizabeth, eh? Get over it, man. Your dad died 2 days ago. Get over it. Like, why are you still crying? Like, how am I just supposed to, you know, just stop crying, put it under the rug. It is what it is. Life is just like that. You anticipate, how? I'm allowed to vent. You know, let us vent. And for those that do bad to others and don't want to sit in it, right? Then maybe don't ask for a second chance. Maybe be the cutter. Maybe be the one that says, you know what, Elizabeth, I think I've hurt you enough and I think you've cried many tears and I don't want to be here anymore because, I want you to heal by yourself. Many of us don't want to fix the things that we have broken because it's messy and it's dirty and it's clumpy and then also it's made out of glass and it cuts. It's like, ew, We don't want to clean up the mess. We want to make the mess, but we don't want to clean it up. We don't want to sit in the hurt. We don't want to sit in the turmoil. We don't want to sit in nothing. As we want a clear, all white, what? We want to lay in all white sheets like we are in coffins. That's what we want to do. Because, I mean, final resting place, you know, that's what we want to do. We want to do things and then we get over it and then we never talk about it again. How many of you guys actually talk about that one time that you slept with your best friend's boyfriend? You never talk about it. You never talk about it and you never bring it up because apparently you don't want to hurt your friend. Your friend forgave you, right? And you guys all called the guy a dog. It's like, he's a dog, dog, dog. Yeah, both of you guys. You guys all called. But how many times do you actually bring up the conversation and ask, how do you feel? How do you feel about what I did to you? And let the person express themselves. We don't do that. We don't do that because apparently we don't want to torokana people. Now, people that don't want to torokana people, is it really for other people or is it for yourself because you don't want to be put in an uncomfortable situation? Or you don't want to remind the person that you're bad? Or is it because you're just trying to forget about it and move past it, but you have no idea how your friend feels? You guys are, we are living in a very weird life. All right. So you and your friend, you and your colleague, you guys are both working at a specific place and you are gunning for a position. And then this person betrays you by going to air your dirty laundry at the boss that's supposed to promote you. At the boss. And the boss is most a nonchalant person. So the person comes and says, Kucha, yeah. I know that Elizabeth makes calls from studio, you know, to some of her audience. She makes calls. And let's say now you are not supposed to do that. And the only person that knows this is your colleague friend. Yeah, because we make friends most as colleagues of ours, we make friends. So now you look at your friend like, bruh, did you tell them? And basically, your friend is like, yeah, my dear, you know, whatever makes you feel good at night, whatever crumbles the cookie or whatever they say there, and your friend basically betrayed you. And now she wants to make it seem like, no, it's water under the bridge. You know, it's positive competition in the workplace. You're like, that's not positive competition in the workplace, sis. That's betrayal. You betrayed me. You threw me under the bus. And then life continues because you are an accepting person. You accept that you didn't get this promotion and it's okay. And your colleague got the promotion through swindling and throwing you under the bus. And now your boss is kind of looking at you funny. And now you are under this magnifying glass at work. And it's causing you a kind of hell that nobody can actually feel, but you feel it every single time that you walk. And you get into the office and basically the calling button has been disconnected only at your hour. Maybe the calling button has been disconnected. And now you see that these are repercussions of what has been put to the forefront. And there are little things that bother you and bother you. And now you are still friends with this person, right? Or you are choosing to keep this person in your life. And then you vent. Kucha, oh, my work is so much harder now. It's so much harder now because they disconnected the phones and what. And oh, I just feel like I feel like you should have never said anything. I feel like you should have really honestly just gunned for the position yourself and you talk about it, you know, and this person is like, yeah, you like talking about work. Let's not talk about work. Like, hey, Now, who am I supposed to vent to? You are the person that I'm supposed to vent to. Not because you did this to me, but because I am in the situation. And you were my go-to person prior to this as well. And now, all of a sudden, I have some things that I can talk to you about, and then I have some things that I can't talk to you about simply because you caused the betrayal. So now I'm sitting there with a whole potato in my throat and butterflies in my stomach, and I don't know how to feel. So now I have to go and pay, some guy to listen to me talking on the couch, because now I need therapy because my therapist betrayed me. Because it was therapeutic talking to you. Now it's just a gang of betrayal, and I'm like, okay, whatever. All right. You? And it's because the therapist doesn't want to sit in the fact that, yeah, like, you betrayed me, bruh. You betrayed me and you hurt me in your betrayal. We don't want to sit in it. And we don't want to, we are selfish. Right? Selfish. Selfish in a sense that we want people to get over the betrayal, but we are so different. You might get over betrayal now, and for me, it might take 10 years. You want to get over things now, and for me, it might take 20 years. That is why they say some people are not the best to betray, because some people, right, don't let things go so easy, so fast. No. So it's better that you don't betray them at all. Then they have nothing over, or like they have nothing in the situation. They have nothing to be betrayed about. So that is offer emotional support. Validate the betrayed partner's feelings and provide emotional support, even if it is uncomfortable. And moving on to number four is be patient and understanding. Healing takes time, and the betrayed person may need reassurance frequently. Frequently is as often as you think about it, but betrayers don't think about it. Betrayers go on with their life like nothing happened. It's like, if I had to give a very tough example, and I know it's not realistic, but a very tough example, I think that, look at Hitler, for example, right? Hitler then did something very, very bad that gave him his own name, right? For life. It would be like Hitler not dying and Hitler just walking around as a former president. That's it, right? Not a genocide person, not a murderer, not a racist, not any of these things, right? And he would be saying things like, but that was just back then. How? You killed thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and hundreds of thousands of people. And you gave the order for these people to be killed, right? And you are saying that it was a long time ago. Like, bruh, it was a long time ago. We're still healing over it now. We're still going through it now. You know, it has such a ripple effect and such an aftermath, right? That you can't just say like, no, brah, it was just that time and we were just, otwayera turimo war. Like, no, Hitler has no right to say that, because healing takes time, because there are so many things that have happened in the name of what he did, right? That were not supposed to happen, that have affected many, 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 many people. And people are still living with it. There are people that don't have a large population as large as they are supposed to be, because part of the orders was kill everybody. Gas chambers, slaves, all of it, right? Concentration camps. And you're saying that, no, 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 brah, just get over it. No, it's not just get over it. It's really honestly just allowing people time to heal. And we can only heal from the Holocaust for like another 100 years, you know, give us another 100 years for us to really forget, you know, or like, and we can't even say forget, but because there are families that are still out here. Imagine having a grandmother, right? That wakes up in the middle of the night screaming. Like your life is like that. Because when she was 20, right? She was put in a gas chamber and she was brutally raped and she was brutally beaten and shot in the head, but the bullet didn't what. And you know, one of those survivor stories, you know, the bullet just did a U-turn and came out somewhere, made a small incision because miracles do happen, right? And by the grace of Allah, by the grace of the universe, by the grace of God, she survived and she still goes through that trauma and she wakes up every single night at the same time screaming, but it's just because of that. And then you are saying that, oh no, we are not affected by that. How can we not be affected by that if it drives your grandfather crazy and if it drives also her kids crazy to see their mother in so much pain and there's nothing they can do about it? And then they give birth to kids. Your mother now gives birth to you and you guys live with your grandmother and this is it. And even in her old age, you know, she's still yelling at the top of her lungs. You can't say that it happened such a long time ago because people take time to heal. And we need to allow people to heal. We need to understand that it takes time. And healing is not you pretending it didn't happen. Healing is not you sweeping it under the rug. It's not you not talking about it. Healing is going through it. Healing is talking about it. And especially when it comes to reassurance, right? It is saying something like, I understand what I did to you. And for what it's worth tonight, you know, on a happy day, I understand what I did to you. For what it's worth, I'll never do it again. I'm so sorry that I put you in that position. I'm so sorry. You know, just out of the blue, where you can just show remorse and sorrow, which are, you know, hey Jews, me as Hitler, I'm so sorry, man. You know, that would be, it's not worth much, right? And we think it's not worth much because we have associated money to everything. But I'm sure there are a couple of people, man, that just need an apology. They just need an apology and they need reassurance that something like this will not happen again. They need, right, for you to be accountable, for you to not always remind the other person, right? But for you to remind them that you didn't forget that you did something bad to them. So when they see you happy, they don't get this little thought in their head like, oh no, they enjoy your life, but this person done did me dirty. It's like you people that agree to get each other pregnant. Oh, you guys would be very surprised at how many people agree to get each other pregnant, to get pregnant together. You know, they sit there in their hallelujah and they're like, you know what we should do? We should have a baby. It's like, I absolutely agree. Let's have a baby. Like, yeah. Then they have a baby and then the one party runs away. Kucha, woo, buddy, it's not what I want. Sorry, you know, sharp. And that is betrayal. Like, you made a promise and you betrayed it. So what are we going to do? We're going to have a baby and we're going to be together and we're going to work hard and we're going to raise this baby. We agreed to this. And then you betrayed that covenant. You walked away from the promise that you made that nobody asked you to make. And then you made it. And then you went ahead and betrayed it. And you are saying that, you know what? So sorry. You know what? We're so sorry and it is what it is. And yeah, it's not that deep. Okay, cool. Sharp.
How?
Netsuo. Ay. No. It doesn't work like that. It doesn't. It's deeper than that. So we need to understand that people go through what they're going through and we need to reassure them that we're not going to put them in the same positions that we put them again. So if you are the friend that betrayed for the post, right? You went to sleep with the commander to get the post that I was gunning for in a legitimate way, right? And you can always say that I'm so sorry that I did that to you. And I'll try to make it right. I will make it right for you. You know, I'll try. I'm so sorry. Yeah. And every time you see your friend struggling, it's not to say that you must now bend over backwards and give her money when you also don't have it. No, it is just in a moment and say, for what it's worth, I know that we're having a good time right now. And I hope that you don't. I hope that I'm not triggering you by saying this, but I really am sorry for what I did to you. I really am. So, okay. Let's go back to drinking, you know, like that. And people don't want to do that because apparently, and they are scared, and. But, not really. So be patient and understanding. Healing takes time, and betrayed partners may need reassurance frequently. So the reassurance is that I've got you, Ne. I'm not going to do that again. I'm not going to hurt you again. I've got you. I understand you. I'm here for you. Reassurance. You are amazing, Ne. You are beautiful, Ne. Don't ever think that. Don't be scared, Ne. Reassurance. That's how it works. Then we move on. Be willing to discuss the betrayal. I think that in all the bullet points that we've had today, we have definitely discussed, right? Discussing. We have definitely discussed about communication. Open and honest communication is essential for rebuilding trust, allowing both parties to express their feelings and work towards resolving it. So, open and honest communication. I feel that many of us are not really open and we are not honest about the level of the betrayal. We're not honest and open. And even when we, sometimes you find, Nem, that it's a couple. And one is not open and honest about how they feel. And the other one, right, is open and honest. And then sometimes there's one that's open and honest, and then there's one that's incapable of comprehending. Like, they just don't understand that a person, like, it's very difficult for me to get this one. Kucha, you just don't understand that you betrayed someone. You just don't understand that you hurt someone so deeply that most probably for life, right, you are going to have to be paying for this. It's either you pay for it or you get out, Mos. It's either you pay for it or you leave your friendship. You go and get new friends. You go and get new partners. You go and look for a new job. You understand? Because if you can't live within the fact that you betrayed somebody and they are expressing themselves and you have to reassure them for life up until the point where they can trust you again. If you can't live through that, then don't be around this person. Because it will frustrate you. And I'm not even talking from the perspective of the other person. I'm talking about you personally. It will frustrate you. It will frustrate you that everything has to do with what you did. Every day. Ne? This person can bring it up every day if they want. Every single day they will bring it up. And it's not because, yeah, they just want to hurt you. It's because they are hurt. Because we like to make things about ourselves mostly. Like, yeah, she's just bringing up those things because she wants to hurt me. Bruh, you are the one that hurt me, not the other way around. What do you mean I'm bringing up the things because I want to hurt you? No, you're the one that hurt me. So now me expressing myself is hurting your feelings, so I must not express myself because your feelings are hurt, but you are the one that hurt me. How? Come on. We don't want to sit in it. And we don't want to talk openly and honestly. Why do you feel betrayed? Why do you feel why do you feel that this person cheating on you, ne, was so deep and of a betrayal? Why do you feel so bad? Yeah, because it's bad, man. No, no, no. Talk about it. Like, really. Because sometimes we don't even understand why we feel so bad about it. So bad about it. Like, because why? Why do you feel so bad? Why do you feel so bad that this person cheated on you? We have to look within ourselves, Moss. We have to look within ourselves and we have to find reasons as to why it cuts so deep. One, it could be because you never expected it from this person. Because you trusted them deeply. You trusted them so deep, right? That you have never felt that kind of trust in your whole entire life. And now you are sitting with the fact that you now have to relearn how to trust them, one. You also have to relearn how to trust yourself in the decisions that you make. Because now you have noticed a flaw within yourself that you can't, you don't know how to choose. You don't know how to choose people that are not going to betray you. And this is an insecurity that is birthed from infidelity. And many people assume that it is because of the action. But like I said, women have this deep, deep, deep fear of shame. I don't know about you guys, but I do. I have this deep fear of shame. I don't want to be embarrassed. I hate shame. Like, I hate shame. You know, even if I fall or I say a blunder, it will take me like 2 months to get over it. I'll keep thinking about it. Like, I know, how could I have I walked so that I don't fall there? You know, how could I have I will, because of shame. So now you're wondering why is this such a deep thing? You know, I slept with that girl once. It was even just a one night stand. I don't even know her. I let go of her number. Why is it such a big thing? It's because now I have to reevaluate myself because I let a danger into my life. I opened the door for something dangerous. I'm supposed to be safe. I'm supposed to be loved. I'm supposed to be calm within myself. And I allowed something dangerous, something poisonous within my environment, within me. What does that say about me? And this is why the searches on YouTube are wild. Because everybody is asking, what's wrong with me? Not what's wrong with me in a sense of, what's wrong with me? Why that he's cheating on me? You know, did I do something? No. What's wrong with me in picking the partner that I picked? Dude, did I pick the partner that I picked because of what? That's when you start having an interest in psychology. And then also, if it's not a romantic betrayal, let's talk about a friend betrayal. And you start asking yourself like, yo, how many people warned me of this person? And why didn't I listen? Is it because I was mesmerized? Was I desperate for a friend? How come I didn't see it? How come I didn't notice? These are all the questions that linger within somebody's mind, right? On a daily basis. Up until they can get to a point where it's water under the bridge. But before that, it is wild. So that is providing reassurance. That is how you provide. That is how you give reassurance to the next person. You know, the person that you betrayed, that is how you do it. And when you are seeking reassurance, when you want reassurance, right? Communicate your need for reassurance openly and honestly. Kucha, babe, I need reassurance. I need reassurance of where you stand in my life. I need reassurance of who I am in your life. I need reassurance of what is happening. I need reassurance, right, that I am important to you and I've got nothing to worry about. And I need reassurance. I need reassurance. We don't talk about it because apparently we're going to be weaklings if we talk about it. Or it's going to be bad if we talk about it. And that's what we think. Right? But it's not. Not unless you're dating a tyrant. Not unless you're dating a dictator. Not unless, right, this person that you are with is not a person that is willing to listen to you. Then you never get reassurance. You constantly have to bring the reassurance conversation up. You constantly have to soothe yourself. You constantly have to reassure yourself. You constantly have to tell them that they need to reassure you because they betrayed you. Then at the end of the day, you ask yourself, but why? Does this person not know that what they did? Or do they just not see me as important enough for them to actually live their lives in such a way that they are reassuring me constantly of where we are and where we come from? This first time here, this first point, talk to your partner, communicate your need for reassurance openly and honestly. That first one, right, is where it all goes downhill or uphill in seeking reassurance. Because if you're not talking openly and honestly, right? If you are asking questions instead of talking, if your questions, ne? If your answers come from questions that you ask, then you are not saying anything. You are interrogating. You are not asking a question. You are not saying anything. You are not supposed to be asking a question. It's supposed to be communicating. It cannot depend from my answer. Which, okay, so I would like, what do you think that reassuring me would look like? Like, how am I supposed to know what reassuring you would look like? Reassuring you about what? Reassuring you in which incidents? Like, what happened that I need to reassure you? If open communication is not had, guys, then this can never happen. You guys, like, we will not get anywhere. If we are not openly talking, if we are not communicating honestly, which are, okay, so this is what I feel. I feel like this because of this and this and this and this and this and this. Then the person can also come back and tell you, which are, okay, so this thing, ne? This blue paper that you think I tore up, right? I didn't tear that blue paper. The paper that I tore was a white paper. And I didn't find it on the desk. I found it on the ground. So I did tear a paper, right? But it's not what you think. You are blaming me for tearing up the blue paper that was your CV, right? But I tore up the advertisement for IUM that was blue. On the ground, or a white paper that was on the ground. That's what I tore up. But you won't know this, right? And I can't reassure you about something that is absolutely wrong. You know? Like how? Why? Why am I reassuring you for something that is wrong that you're not talking about openly and honestly? Talk to me about, hey, that best friend of yours, right? That best friend of yours, I don't like them. Why? I don't like them because the other day in the bathroom, when I walked into the bathroom and your friend was walking out, your friend said to me that, yeah, I'm going to make sure that she hates you. You see, that's open and honest. Now I can address my friend and I say, Kucha, how can you say that? Why did you say that? And now it's getting somewhere. And also, maybe you can also ask, okay, how did my friend say this? And did she have earphones on? So I know that my friend talks all the time, right? Because she has these earphones in because she's having a conversation on the phone. Now, you might have just heard that part and you might have thought that it's addressed to you. So We can only clear the air when we communicate. So communicate, beloveds. So, the next one is seek support from others, my dear. Seek support from others. Go, leave this supporting each other. Go and talk to your friend. Eh? But talk to a friend that is relationship friendly, and talk to a friend that encourages relationships, because you find that one friend of yours that always lets go of relationships and doesn't take nonsense. That person is most probably not the best one to talk to, because their solutions are not really, stay together kind of solutions. It's more about, okay, whatever. I think that, you know, the fact that he said that, I think you should just leave him. Like, yeah, don't talk to those ones. Talk to somebody that wants to hear both sides. Talk to a neutral party. Talk to somebody that is a neutral person. Talk to friends, families, or a therapist to process your emotions and gain support. The next one is create a safe space for vulnerability. Allow yourself and your partner to be vulnerable and honest with each other. Vulnerable and honest. Vulnerableness is taking away this macho thing that we do. This, I'm strong. I can tell you nonsense if I want. And hey, I can tell you nonsense if I want. That thing, that is all a facade. That is a wall that we build up. But also the wall comes from somewhere, but it's a wall. So if we can understand that this is a wall, then maybe we can put our guns down and stop firing, and then just be in a vulnerable state where we can openly and honestly communicate vulnerably to one another. So it seems as if, create the safe space. It seems as if, right, the only way to get through this is via communication. And then the next one is focus on the present. You know, when you guys have arguments and then you guys bring up things of like, yeah, even you 2 years ago, and me also in 2 years ago. If you guys are having an issue about today, have the issue about today. And if it does leap into something like for a long time ago, right? Then you can associate it to today and you can find a solution in it. But if the argument is about the cup, it can't be about the pot that also burnt 2 years ago. No, because the problem today is you broke the cup. You broke my cup, right? And that's not right for me. My cup is important to me. You can't say things like, yeah, but you also broke my cup the other time and I didn't say anything about it. Maybe you didn't feel the way I feel about my cup. We're not the same. Maybe it didn't affect you, but this is affecting me. Maybe you are your own person. Why must it be determined by, like, because you didn't react, I should not react either. How? No. It's not even like that. Nah. No. So if you guys are having a conversation or an argument about the cup, have an argument about the cup and finish it. Just the cup. And I know that this is very difficult because we have a tendency of cornering one another. We corner one another and then we want to retaliate. When we are pushed in corners, we all want to retaliate. All of us, every single one of us, even the holiest of holiest. I think that even if you had to go and have an argument with the Pope would also push back. He would also push back because nobody wants to be in a position of being cornered into the wall. And sometimes we feel cornered into the wall, even when people are not cornering us into the wall. So we have to create a space of vulnerability and safety, a place where we can just idle and be at like be in a space of calmness. All right. So you need to focus on the present. By addressing the present. And if the present is linked to something else, then you can maybe, and I know that this is difficult because even I struggle with it, maybe call it, make it a subtitle and say, I would like to add case study number 6 from 2004. You know? Like, maybe if you say that, then yeah, maybe you can add it in such a way where you say, I would like to add an incident that happened another time. It's very difficult. I don't think that many of us can ever remember it. Even me, I don't remember it. To say, which I would like to add this to the conversation as evidence. You know, I would like to, but I don't say it just like that. Never. I know that this is the correct way to do it, but I also struggle with that one. So what would be nice is to do that. And if you can't do that, it is also understandable. And it's also something that you must look at. Because we can't just stay the same. We need to come to a space in our lives where we evolve and where we change and where we make the situation better and more healthier for one another, right? So let's do that. Let us say that we are adding something, you know, we are adding new evidence. Because even in court, you can't just decide that you are submitting evidence just like that. Oh, I'm submitting this new evidence that I just found 10 minutes ago. You can't. Yeah, because no, that means the other party is not prepared for that. You know, the other party is not prepared. It does happen within relationships. It happens within arguments. And it's not right, but we do it. Even I do it. We do it. Really, in all honesty, we do it. And it is mainly just to solidify and make our argument stronger and to make our point. It's not really brought up to harm, maybe, because some people do bring it up to harm, you know, and just to add. It's like somebody being wrong for doing something, and then they decide to bring in another conversation where you are wrong also, and then all of a sudden, right, whatever you were arguing about is no longer an argument. We're just gonna argue about this thing that you are wrong in. Right? Yeah, that's it. We're just going to argue about this thing that you are wrong in. And we're going to forget completely that I messed up first. So I'm just going to shout and I'm just going to overpower the whole conversation with how wrong you are. But we're not looking at the real elephant in the room. We pretend that an elephant doesn't exist. And then we make this little baby elephant and elephant all of a sudden. And all of a sudden, it is a very emotional thing. But you didn't even bring up the conversation. Like, you didn't bring it up. You didn't call for a meeting. You didn't call for communication and positive communication. Nothing. You didn't do nothing. But then all of a sudden, when somebody brings up something, then you want to bring up an extra thing. So we are talking about the ad. And then all of a sudden, you want to bring up, yeah. And when Happy came on Life Lessons, how? Yeah. And that's what people do. And that's what people do to derail others. And unfortunately, it happens. Most of us do it, if not all of us. We all do it. So don't feel bad, okay? So the next one is, forgive yourself and your partner. How? Why do I have to forgive myself for matriarch? I did nothing wrong. This person is the one that cheated. This person is the one that did this to me. This person is the one that did everything to me. Why should I forgive myself? Chapeau, I must forgive them. You must forgive yourself for being stupid enough to allow this person into your life. That's it. Because you were stupid doesn't mean that there's no love. Doesn't mean that there is no growth. Doesn't mean anything. It was just one of those things where you saw red flags and you looked past them. So you have to forgive yourself for ignoring red flags. Because nobody just comes and shows you their true colors after 10 years. No. Everybody shows their true colors in month 4. Or sometimes straight off the bat, first day, they show you their true colors. And we ignore this for one reason or another. Sometimes we ignore this. Sometimes we ignore this, right? Because we are so desperate for love. We are desperate for companionship. We are desperate for jobs. We are desperate, right? And that's what you have to be forgiving of. It's not to say that you're dismissing everything. It's not to say that you are letting go of anything. It is just forgive yourself for not seeing the things that you were supposed to say. And sometimes also, you need to forgive yourself for your reactions. You need to forgive yourself for allowing emotions to dominate you. You need to forgive yourself for the lack of discipline that you have. Like, I forgive myself, ne, for being ill-mannered and ill-disciplined. I forgive myself for acting out of character. I forgive myself. And practicing self-love and self-care is important, because if you can practice self-love and self-care, there's a level of understanding and care that comes towards other people. So practice self-love and self-care. And the only time you can forgive yourself is also when you acknowledge that there are some things that you did wrong there. And then forgive your partner. Forgiving your partner is not forgetting what they did. Or forgiving your colleague is not forgetting what they did. Forgiving them is through understanding of what they were doing, how they were doing, what they were doing, and why they did what they did, right? In that, there is always some understanding that can come from it. I did this because, right? That because is what can give you room. It doesn't mean that it's right for them to betray you. No, it doesn't mean that. It just means that I can forgive them because I understand in what position they were, because I'm a human being too. I can forgive them because I know what it's like to be them. So if you are working in an environment where, one, maybe the pay is not a lot, and there's now this opportunity of getting a raise, and this person is really, 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 it's your friend, most, it's your work friend. So you know that this person is deeply in debt, and you know that this person could really, like, putting your feelings aside, this person could really, really, really use the raise. Could really, really, really use the money that's gonna come from there, from the new salary. Could really use the promotion. You're not saying that betrayal is good, but if you can understand where they are coming from. The only way you can also understand them is if they are really honest. If they are really honest about how they feel and what they are going through, right? Then you can understand. Forgiveness comes from understanding. It is like your mentally ill sister stabs you, and the police come and take her to the insane asylum, and then out weekend comes. You will still go get your sister. You go get your sister because you understand her situation. You understand that, one, she was not on her meds. Two, she is not well. And three, on an ordinary day, she's a loving person. You understand that it is an accident. And you understand where they were at. And that is why you can forgive your sister for stabbing you. I know people find it like very difficult to forgive some things, but you find people that are living in houses with people that have done things to them. And the only thing that has saved their families is understanding why something was done. Sometimes you walk away, especially from relatives, right? You walk away from toxic relatives, not because it's what you want and not because you hate them, but because their condition and who they are is hurting you. But in a blink of an eye, if they ever needed, you would assist. And also, you don't walk with, I'm never gonna forgive. No. You can say that. You can say that now when you're mad. But you eventually do forgive. Especially when it is a matter of not really being conscious of what I did to you. You have a tendency. We can forgive. We can forgive. And it's the same goes to partners. You know? And For example, infidelity. Let's not go to infidelity. For example, something like beating your partner, right? You are asking, why do people stay with people that are beating them? And I can say that sometimes people stay with people that are beating them because one day in 365 days, they get beaten by a drunk person that was just fired from work, that is struggling with home, and also is having a problem with alcohol and self-control and is traumatized. Right? Because you understand the trauma, you understand the alcohol, you understand getting fired, you understand their problems and their psyche. And that is why, right? You don't stay because, oh, I just want to stay. I like it. Beat me again, daddy. No. You stay and you forgive, right? Because somewhere, somehow, you understand. You don't want to. Trust me. You don't want to. You don't want to understand. But unfortunately, you do. You understand who they are and why things got that far. You understand. You know, you understand it. And that is why some people stay. Other people don't stay. Like, nonsense, never, police station. You know, some people don't. And some people do stay. And forgiving is a crucial step in healing, but it is important to allow yourself time to process your emotions. You don't just get beaten today and then apparently, I forgive you. No, it takes a while also. Everything takes time. Time is the healer of many things, if you give time a chance. All right, ladies and gentlemen, from me, the matriarch, I bid you farewell. I love you forever and a day. And I will see you guys again tomorrow with these conversations that pull heartstrings. For you going through troubled times and betrayal, we will conclude our conversation tomorrow. But for now, breathe.